Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, and this week we talk with the very sweet Raquel about some tough childhood situations that she's been in, what it's been like to experience inner peace for the first time recently, and some of her adventures from festivals this last summer. So, enjoy.
Oh my God. Raquel, we're here.
We are here.
We're finally.
It's been so long.
We have just been through quite a full night of adventure to get to this point. What have we been trying to do here?
We were trying to record like 4 hours ago.
Uh-huh.
And traffic and The Bachelor got in the way, so we just started now.
That's great.
4 hours later.
And here we are, just in Nelson's home.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to be talking about a little bit of self-love here tonight. Wow. Raquel, what has been self-love for you? When did it come into your life? When did you even realize it was a thing?
When did I realize self-love was a thing for everybody or in my life?
In your life.
I noticed that certain tendencies in my life were damaging because of like traumas that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of self-doubt causing bad decisions and mm-hmm. Preventing me from making good decisions and being motivated in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And once I noticed that was happening, I made a point to improve on that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What created self-doubt for you? Like, what did that feel like?
It was kind of the sense that I was at the place that any accomplishments that I had were given to me by luck, and mm-hmm. I couldn't have earned it if I weren't in that situation, or a lot of the things that had gone wrong, I had set myself up.
Mm-hmm.
I had set up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of going back and forth and not wanting to take big steps in things that I want to do because I would be scared mm-hmm. to mess up.
I see. Also, Raquel, I just realized, we didn't introduce you! Tell us a bit about yourself. Who is Raquel?
Well, Raquel is a little Hispanic, a little Hispanic girl who I went to the University of Washington. But this isn't an interview, so you probably don't care about that.
No, I love that.
Okay, well, I went to the University of Washington, I majored in biology, I liked it a lot, I didn't realize that didn't have the best job security, I should have done engineering, but it's okay.
I think you're doing great.
Thanks.
Working at this cool startup?
Yeah.
In biology, which I didn't even realize that there were, like, startups in biology.
Well, this is a chemistry lab.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a physical chemistry lab, and I like the O-chem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like the biology and physiology. But this is cool. I'm learning a lot at this job.
Nice.
I really like it.
And off she goes to the next thing in biology and chemistry.
Yeah. You know, I'm, like, young, so I need, like, lab experience before I can have a lot of other options.
Mm-hmm. It'll be great.
It will be discovering great.
Materials, metals.
Right? Yes, exactly. It's metals. It's a metals lab.
It's great.
That's funny that you know that.
Oh, I know. I remember when you told me about it. And so, I mean, Raquel, listen to yourself. Just, like, fucking killing it. And yet, self-doubt.
I think that's a thing that a lot of people have, though. If you talk to people, that's that's not a super unique issue. But, it, you know, what you do with it is a very unique thing to do.
Nice. Like, so I kind of want to go in, what did you, like, I'm going to go back, like, backwards. For more recent experiences. So, tell us about the first time you did MDMA. And what was going through your mind beforehand? What was going on leading up to it, like night of, moment, like the whole your experience. Whole mental journey.
I was so freaked out. I had had like an anxiety episode on weed, and I was scared that that would happen, and I would be at like a rave and there'd be a lot of people and I would be really overstimulated, and I was not with like the normal people, like my normal group of friends that like would, I didn't know, you guys definitely do bend over backwards for me, but it had been one of the first times that I had hung out with you guys in that experience. So I was really nervous about it. I was really scared. And this, in my brain, it was a hard drug. Like weed is, you know, so much, in my brain, it was better for you physiologically. And so it's less dangerous. And so I had thought that like MDMA was like hard drugs, like scary stuff. And, Nelson was really encouraging. Like, really was pushing it, and I like to think that I'm the type of person that will do a lot of things once, not everything, but most things once. So I went ahead and I did it, and it was the smoothest, easiest drug that I could have ever imagined. Like, you could, if you drink a lot, you can be like regretful the next day. If you do weed, you can have episodes of anxiety. But MDMA was so easy, and it was so, you're so collected, you're not out of control, it's very comfortable. And then I had kind of looked at some of the experience, it felt like I was looking at some of the experiences that had happened to me in an outside view, like from the perspective of an outsider, and it made it a lot easier for me to not take things so personally and not make them things that define me.
What are your past traumas?
I had a lot of experiences of sexual abuse, just because I lived in kind of a rough neighborhood, and it was pretty common for people to have like the mentality that is like women are to blame if they dress a certain way, if they act a certain way. And it was unique in the sense that if somebody did something to you, you couldn't just avoid that person and their family, because it was such a small town. So if something happened to you, you would see that person again probably every day. If you went to school with them, you would see their best friend every day, you would see their siblings frequently. It was a very closed environment, and I didn't realize how much it had affected me until I escaped that, and I realized that wasn't normal, and I realized that that was also not really my fault. And I think it's weird to think about, because I would never think this way about another person, but in that situation, I would think, like, if I just wouldn't have, like, gone out that night, or if I just wouldn't have done such and such, it wouldn't have happened. So.
Man, so you have to, like, you were just wearing, like, you have to, like, wear a mask around the whole time, like, in every situation.
Yeah.
When you would run into these people.
Yeah. You just have to close yourself off and not try not to be affected or visibly affected.
Yeah. Wow. So sorry that that happened to you. That's rough. That's so crazy. Just so when you're, so in this moment, you're looking at an outside view of what had happened to you. Like, how did the like difference within yourself like feel as well? Like, even though you're like seeing from outside perspective, you're saying like that, recognizing that it wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
Like, what did that feel like?
It was a huge relief, and it made me like reflect on so many of the decisions that I have made, so many of the things that I did do in my own life had nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. And were good decisions, you know, like going to school, picking up, making friends, making connections, doing things that are positive, that are my decision. These are things that are conscious to me, and they are things that are removed from that, and that brought comfort to me, because that is something that happened to me, but I am not as tied to it as it felt like before now.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's a huge relief for sure.
Yeah.
MDMA is amazing. Recommend it to everyone.
Nice. And like, to this day, that's really stuck with you.
Yeah.
That experience.
Yeah, absolutely. The traumas had affected me in ways, in relationships, in like my trust for people, and it's just like a reoccurring in almost any social interaction. It slipped up, and now I notice when it's slipping up, and I feel like I can nick it in the butt.
Yeah.
Once I feel it creeping in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you like, even your awareness,
right,
is heightened.
Absolutely.
Wow. And in when you were like there that night, so there's like a lot of internal, like, you know, work going on.
Yeah.
Like, what did the external, like, world, like, seem to you? Like, the people around you, like, how was that experience as well?
That was great, too. I was around, you know, it seems silly, but I was around you guys, and you guys were all taking care of each other, and you guys were, you know, like, providing hydration for each other and emotionally taking care of each other, and I could tell that this was such a giving group, and this is such, it felt rare. And there's a lot of people who are good people that I maybe look over most of the time, but this group is just amazing, and I felt so fortunate to have been a part of that and that experience, and I'm just so hyped about you guys now all the time.
Oh, shucks. Well, I mean, obviously it's very, very hyped around you. It's like you say it as in like that it's like our group, that you're like, get to be a, guess what, Raquel, you're in the group now.
Thanks.
That's how I view it, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like I am, I felt that night that I got, I was.
It's like the, indoctrinated, the, the initiation.
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
like
that's
the initiation.
There's a lot of initiation stuff that's really important. And what wilder initiation than that?
Yeah.
and even, did you feel like how you interacted with others that night, did that feel different?
Yeah, totally. I'm so, like, naturally closed off, and so naturally, like, emotionally I keep to myself all the time. And that, it just made it so easy for me to be like, I like you, and I like, you know, like, it made it. And I did, those are real feelings. It's not false emotions by any means, but it's easier to articulate them and to express them when you're rolling.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And like, how, when you like, or say, you're like, oh yeah, it's great, would recommend it to everyone.
Yeah.
Could you see how like a lot of types of traumas, like, could be, you know, just smoothed out.
Yeah.
Just like thought of in this new light that you're talking about.
Yeah. I think people are carrying their traumas all the time. Mm-hmm. And even if they just have a moment where they're able to feel like it's something that's not with them, even for the moment, I think that can have a lasting impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, even the, a lot of people will, like, worry about, like, all the next day or, like, getting addicted to it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, like, it's a hard drug. You get addicted to everything. How does, what's your experience with that?
Yeah. Well, I that can be a real concern. It definitely does affect your receptors and your dopamine levels. So that I can see where that concern would come from. But also, I think if you go into this wanting to be responsible, not necessarily seeking, like, this is something that I can do to feel good whenever I need to feel good. Mm-hmm. You could use it as a tool, but if that's your only source of happiness or feeling better, then, and you want to do it frequently, you have to incorporate physiology and be responsible about it. And if you are, it's totally fine.
Yeah. Next day, how'd you feel?
Perfect.
This is great.
No issues. Both of the times.
Both of the times.
Yeah.
In that wild. Yeah. How has been, like, trying out, like, festival life? Like, how has that been for you?
It's crazy. It's definitely not something that I would have thought that I would have done. I don't think, like, I would have even considered going to Base Academy or considered going to Shambhala. And I'm definitely glad I did. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that I would have, a few years ago, or even, like, a year ago, would have imagined. Mm-hmm. That would have been something I would do. But it's great. It's the most loving. You know, like, I love pride parades for the same reason that I like raves. Because I feel like it's just, like, a loving community. It's just a happy, loving, supportive community. And I feel like it's, like, the same situation mm-hmm. for raves and stuff like that. And I don't think people who don't go to raves see that.
Right. What do you think they see?
The chaos, the craziness, the drug use. That's absolutely what I had. That was my impression before all of this. Like, festivals were, like, sex and drugs, and then raves were nudity and drugs. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Isn't it funny, like, even when you say that, it's like, there's sex and drugs and there are people. It's like, wait, what else do people
What's
do?
The
like,
issue?
I don't know. Like, people do a lot of stuff, but people do that too. Like, even balanced folks, whatever that means. Like, or like,
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I've never heard that expression ever.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, you know, you hear people having bad experiences, like, in day to day life. You know, with people.
Yeah.
And then it's funny thinking how you could think of festivals being crazy, but more and more they seem like, oh, this is just people having fun.
Yeah. It's just
and enjoying what they have.
Yeah, and bonding and interacting with people in a closer way. Like, that's what's crazy about MDMA is you always have this social behavior that you have when you go to work, when you go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. where it like inhibits you from really making interactions. You do your, like, oh, how was your weekend, good morning, but you don't have this, like, deep connection with people because you're not that's, you know, it's weird. It's you're not supposed to
have a deep connection with people.
Yeah, you're not supposed to, like, you know, like, ask your cashier, like, what's your relationship with your father and your, like, significant other, how's that going, are you satisfied? Like, that's not something you would talk to. But I feel like in when you're rolling or just when you're in these environments, like, people do genuinely connect, and they can, I could see why people make, like, lasting friends in these environments.
Yeah, even people that you've, like, you've just, like, randomly, oh, we were, like, in line for the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, because you could just strike up just any conversation, talk about anything.
And that, like, wall, that, like, barrier that, like, I'm supposed to act this way, it's gone. So you just are comfortable doing it. And, like, I was around you guys, so I'm like, these guys don't, like, they're not going to be like, Raquel, that's weird. Don't be that open. Like, that's not something that would have came out of any of your guys' mouth.
Yeah, no, not at all. Don't be open.
Like, stop being so
I don't think I've ever said that except just now. This joke. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that coming out of your mouth.
And how was, like, before this, did you have many, like, I don't know, like, journeys with, like, people in your life? Like, you know, like, because kind of making it to these festivals even is, like, a journey in and of itself and, like, a bonding experience.
Yeah. I don't think I had that until... I had so much continuity in my life for such a long time that it was really hard to break out of regular routine.
Yeah.
But, and then once I, like, got to college, everything was... I didn't make an effort to, like... I was so focused in school that I didn't make an effort to, like, improve, to work on myself a whole bunch, or to go out of my comfort zone a whole bunch. But I did have, like, this one person, or a few people in particular. One of them is still my really good friend, but Russell.
Yeah. Russell, great guy.
Yeah, I love Russell. Russell, he's just been, like, he's been somebody that I could talk to about, like, he has a lot of the same mental issues, so it's fine. I've always felt comfortable coming to him and talking to him about everything. And there's also another person who I think really helped me form or be able to form relationships better.
So you would have trouble forming relationships back in the day?
I think in terms of, like, romantic relationships, I definitely did. Or, like, sexual relationships. I didn't want to be... I wanted to be in control. I didn't want to be vulnerable. And there was one person who kind of almost forced me into that position.
Okay.
But it was a push in the right direction. There were a whole set of other issues, but that was one thing that was super beneficial.
So having someone, you said he kind of was going through that kind of same thing?
Yeah, well, he had experienced some... So I dated this guy who had, like, an ex-girlfriend that he dated. He was crazy about her, and he went to jail one time because he walked in on her stepdad raping her. Whoa. Yeah, and he had obviously a lot of trauma from that, and he was open. He was able to open up to me, and it put it into perspective. The way that he talked about her wasn't in disgust of her. He wasn't disgusted by her. He wasn't disappointed in her. It wasn't any... It was just empathy. It was just sympathy, sorry, that he had felt towards somebody he loved. But he still kept that person as somebody he loved, and I valued that. And I felt like I could talk to him about the issues that I had, which I had actually not talked to anyone for years and years and years. And he kind of was able to unlock that. We had a whole bunch of problems, and definitely is good that we aren't seeing each other anymore. But that is something that I will always appreciate about him.
That's awesome. Wow. It's great that you're able to connect
and
help each other through that.
It's also great that we aren't together.
But that's also great. that's wonderful.
It's great
able to
news.
Heal and then move on. Wow.
Moving forward in life.
Yeah. And just going.
Yeah. Wow. But, like, there are no regrets with that. It was a positive impact overall, I think. Mm.
That's awesome.
It would have been negative if we would have kept going.
Yeah.
Like, the net value of it would have been negative.
Yeah.
Very negative. But luckily, it stopped at a positive point.
Well done. That's what I have to say to that. Is well done.
Thanks, Seth.
So, like, at this point today, what do you... Do you still have any struggles with self-love? Where are you at right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll always be a constant improvement. This is what we were talking about earlier. I think people should aim for a constant growth, constant improvement.
Yeah, the growth mindset.
Yeah. I think it's better, but it's not like I'm going to be like, well, I saw a counselor for a little while and things are better. I think it's, you know, I'm done now. This is my destination.
Of course.
That's like not a mentality. It blows my mind that is a mentality that people have sometimes, which you just informed me of today.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We were talking about it. Raquel did not know that there are people that have a growth mindset and that some people have fixed mindsets.
That just doesn't make any sense to have a fixed mindset.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think you would ever be with someone with a fixed
mindset? No, that's impossible. I could never do that for like 2 seconds.
What about friends?
What about friends? I find myself, it's even hard to have friends with fixed mindsets. But I do it. I do have friends with fixed mindsets, absolutely.
What do you think are the symptoms of people with fixed mindsets?
What are like the symptoms? Like,
how can you tell?
Ooh, how can you tell? That's a great question. And this is great. Raquel's asking questions. This is great. What are the symptoms? People that overtly complain. People that fall into victim mentality.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Once you did mention it, now I see so many people.
Yeah. Victim mentality is pretty bad. You know, there's the people that they're not, I think there's the people that have growth mindsets. You see them seeking out, new experiences. So people that enjoy comfort, like extreme comfort. So not just saying that people that like to get a massage, you know, it's like,
do you mean like comfort and routine?
Comfort and routine.
Okay.
Which, of course, all these things are going to be a healthy balance.
Right.
But people that like tradition, there's a lot of fixed mindset there because it's like, if you don't challenge tradition, then you're just...
It's set up for you and you just abide by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, tradition's fixed. There's always this thing of, at least with traditions for me, that always, you know, triggers me is like marriage, kids, house.
Gross.
Marriage, kids, house. Marriage, kids, house.
I'm gonna have nightmares.
Marriage, kids, house. Where is the house?
Where are the babies?
I went on a date like a week and a half ago,
yeah.
And this girl literally, I was like, so what's on the horizon for you? It's like, I just want a house.
Run. Oh, no, house is a good, I think.
Well, no, but it's like, what do you think about getting a house? Like, you know, like,
run.
Like, yeah, it's like wild. Like, what are your hobbies? How can I get a house?
Working on making money for house and babies.
Yes. Which, again, there is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with getting a house, having kids, and you know what, even marriage, you know? But if that is all that's on your mind, like, damn, dude.
Yeah. There are so many things that you're missing in the world.
Yeah. So people that aren't, there's different, seeking looks different for everyone.
Yeah.
My seeking is, like, looking for experiences that make me, like, you know, usually, like, feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That I experience, like, a little bit of fear.
Yes.
So always challenging fear. But,
totally agree
with
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How does the growth mindset look for you? Like, how are you always trying to grow?
Actually, I had a question about growth.
Oh, please.
Because don't you think there's different categories? Like, I know one person in particular who is always a victim, emotionally had not been doing anything about their situation.
Yeah.
Knew that they were living miserable.
Yeah.
In a miserable fashion, and they didn't want to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the academics is always pursuing, or in a career is always pursuing more.
Yeah.
I still consider that growth, but I
definitely
don't consider that, like, growth. Like, the spectrum of what you're growing in.
Yes. It's a part of the pie. It's like, if you could think of, like, all of your experiences, I'm trying to visualize this out loud. Like, your life is this big circle.
Yeah.
And you're the center.
Okay.
And, like, how you find out, like, different parts of yourself, you're expanding the circle. So, like, let's imagine, everyone, that you start as a dot, and you... You're like, oh, I really like O-chem. Boom. Okay, so we're starting this line from this dot. We're expanding. And then it's like, oh, I like running. And then that's a different dot.
Yeah.
Like, and it expands out, and then it creates a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, like, realize just like, oh, I really like to dance. And then that expands a different line from the center dot, which is now this kind of, 4-point blob thing.
Yeah.
And eventually, if you keep trying to seek different things and push yourself in different ways, you create this, like, really nice circle.
Yeah.
It looks pointy for a while.
Yeah,
and kind
like
of
a
weird.
Jellyfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But eventually you fill your little... You have a full life. That's how I'm just making... I made that up just now, and I think it's pretty good.
I think that's a good analogy, Seth. Good job.
Thank you. So, your friend that's going in, just, like, always pushing yourself in, like, the career aspect, they're making that... They're extending that line.
Yeah,
that initial
line.
That
one is really long.
Yeah.
But everything else is neglected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think I definitely like routine. Like, I definitely like to, like, exercise regularly, sleep regularly.
It's a good way to build habits, like, healthy habits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like you were saying, if I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone, I think that's a good place.
Totally.
To grow. And also, if you think about why you do the things that you do, or why you want the things that you do, like, I want this job, why do I want this job, or I want a family, why do I want family, is it because I'm expected to?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I go to family reunions, they ask me, where are my babies at?
Where are my babies at?
Where are my babies at?
Yeah.
Or, you know, is it something that you genuinely want? Is
yes.
that something that you think will make you a more fulfilled person?
Yeah.
And I think you should question your decisions regularly, and
mm-hmm.
not be offended when somebody asks you those questions also, when somebody calls you out on your decisions.
Definitely, definitely. And if you keep questioning those things and finding the things that you're not comfortable with, I guess... For me, every time I find something that I'm like, oh, I'm not comfortable with this, let's push it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, just barely ever like, wow, wish I didn't try that.
Yeah.
It never happens for
me.
Yeah. Like.
Can you give me an example of something?
Ooh. Last week, I went to, my first, it was called Relationship Anarchist.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Meetup. So... this, like, just non-monogamous group of people meet up at this person's really cool house. Mm-hmm. There's nice, like, cushions laid out in, like, the living, like, room area just where, like, people can hang out. Like, multiple, like, rooms of where, like, people can go and talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you think we do at this thing?
It's called relationship anarchy.
Anarchists.
Anarchist. I think you guys, well, I've heard you talk about it.
Yeah. So okay. It doesn't count. Yeah. That's kind of hard. What would,
But I think my impression would have been to, like, complain about relationships,
mm-hmm.
which is not what you guys did,
mm-hmm.
but that I would have imagined that would have been it.
Yeah. And so it was like, and I mean, even for me, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is where, like, people could, like, potentially, like, hook up or something like that as well.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, there.
And that would make you uncomfortable?
No.
That sounded judgy. I'm like, that would make you uncomfortable. I don't mean to give off those
vibes. I guess,
vibes.
You know, it's, like, I've been around non-monogamous people, but, like, and, you know, like, kind of, you know, being one. It's still weird saying it out loud. But, like, being one, like, I've never been in, like, a full meetup where it's like, oh, this is everyone's lifestyle here.
Yeah.
Like, this never happened. And so, but we ended up just having really great discussions.
Yeah.
Really, like, one of the rooms was called Obstacles, which that's where I actually spent, like, my whole time.
Yeah.
There was, like, two rounds where it was, like, people, like, what is an obstacle in that's, you know, usually related to, like, non-monogamy, mm-hmm. and just people, like, get to fully share their story, and then just, like, people get to help them,
mm-hmm.
and there's, like, a lot of support,
mm-hmm.
and the other rooms were, like, just exploring topics of non-monogamy, and then just talking about it, and it was just, like, so good, like, so anyways, and really glad I went. Will I go back? Absolutely.
Yeah, you seemed really happy when you came back from that.
Yeah.
And it sounds almost like even you were a little bit influenced by the perception of open relationships, where it's like,
mm-hmm.
if you're open, it means everybody's having sex with everybody all the time.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, you would know. You would know.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure their retreats are wild. But still, it's great that the point of it is, like, just, again, just very human, very honest.
Comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. Supportive.
I wish there were, even for monogamous relationships,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing would be beneficial. But I think it's supposed to be, like, cookie cutter clean.
Yeah.
So they're like,
everyone's like, deal with your own shit.
Yeah.
Like,
everybody has their own shit. You get yours. Don't complain about it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. So, yeah. So, growth mindset. Very important. If I didn't have it, shoot.
I literally can't imagine being in a headspace where it's like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is my destination for growth. At 27 years old or whatever, this is where I want to be until I'm 80. That seems ridiculous.
It was great. Like, someone I met at Burning Man this year,
mm-hmm.
she's great. She, I, like, checked in, or I, like, sent a message to her after the burn, and I finally heard back from her, like, last week, and she was like,
oh
my gosh, I'm doing this. She was like, I'm training to be, like, an acro yoga teacher.
Oh, wow.
She had just started doing improv classes.
Okay.
Like, when she got back from Burning Man, and I thought that was, like, that was just great, because I was like, I've done that. And then she also was doing, like, salsa dancing lessons or something like that. And I was just like,
a lot of rhythm.
It's, like, amazing. You, like, write this down, like, in text, and just be like, it sounds as simple as that, but it's like, wow, she's, like, pushing herself, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And
her life,
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and her life is going to be so much more exciting now because she does those things. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you're not, like, it might seem like you're risking a lot, but you're really not. By taking an improv class, by taking classes.
You don't lose anything. Yeah. Only to gain.
Yeah. Like a few bucks and some time. But what are you going to be doing with that time anyways?
So now the question is, so the people that have trouble with like victim mentality, motivation, there's probably people that want to like live that way.
Yeah, and I could see why.
Like live like a more exciting life. Full life. You know, it's like, gotta find those people, motivate them.
Yeah.
Get them going.
Yeah, that's what, it's like the self-doubt thing, cycles back to the self-doubt thing. I think that's why a lot of people don't do things like that.
Yeah. What, for like another one last thing, like, what would you have told yourself, like, back in the day to, like, help get you further quicker?
I don't think it was super important to do things quicker. I think the route that it took is valuable to me. I think the fact that it was so many years that it had taken for me to, you know, be able to talk about something, to talk about these things with anybody else, and it had taken me so many years to get help, and it had taken me so many years to accept what happened. I think that adds to the feeling of relief. I'm not saying you should abuse, like, you should, if you have a problem, you should get help.
Yeah.
But I think in this case, it makes it almost so I know I can, like, talk to people back in my hometown who have had similar experiences, and I'm not judgmental towards them. I'm not like, well, you need to get counseling, and obviously this is what you need to do, and don't be silly. Obviously, it's not your fault. Like, I can put myself in the position, and it's easier to relate to both sides, and I like that it wasn't skimmed over, because now I have that aspect.
Have that experience to always grab from. It's like a,
it's a part of the experience. It's what happened, you know, when I was like getting molested at 13 or whatever, wasn't like isolated to a night. It wasn't isolated to like the time that it had occurred. It wasn't isolated to like even when I got out of the house. It was something that came up day to day, and I had that whole experience, and I'm growing from that, and I like that.
Nice. That's awesome.
Thanks, Seth.
Thanks for being on the podcast, Raquel. Thanks, this Seth. Is great.
I'm glad we finally recorded
this. Lastly, would you say that you felt inner peace?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was, I think, honestly, the first time that I had felt inner peace as an adult ever.
Same year.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. You're such a peaceful guy, Seth.
I know.
It's taken years, I'm sure.
Looks can be a deceiver.
What was that?
You know, like, the external can be deceiving. You would think.
Yes.
Oh, the whole time. But yeah. Wow. Wow. Okay, Raquel, I fucking love you. You're the best. You're just great. Look at this. You're on the podcast.
Love and shout out to Raquel for trying so many new things in such a short amount of time and sharing her story so far. Just think it's wonderful. So thanks for listening, guys. Follow me on Twitter @Seth_Pearson, and check out loveamp.com for more information on self-love. And if you're listening to this podcast and you are having a hard time loving yourselves, I do one-on-one self-love coaching sessions. And if you want to know more information about that, hit me up on any of those platforms. I'm just here to spread self-love to everyone, and we all need one-on-one attention in this. So yeah, reach out. See you next time, and love yourselves out there.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.